being a son and daughter of God, you have the authority and the ability to drive out devils. Mm-hmm. You can pray for the sick and they will recover.
Amen.
As a son and daughter of God, I mean, you have the same privilege when it comes to praying for the sick. You got the same privilege to pray for the sick like the pastor or any evangelist. Mm-hmm. Got that privilege.
Amen.
And you all remember the story that Brother Ann told the sister that was praying for a sick person,
yes,
a sick baby. And you know, now it was how she did it, right, that was different. The prophet had a prayer line. His sister would not have had a prayer line. But when the Lord put on her heart to pray for the baby, first she tried to get it off of her heart by just giving up a seat. But that wasn't what God told me to do, to pray for the baby, not just give up a seat. And she finally, you know, asked the mother, "Do you mind if I pray for your baby? I know you got a prayer card, but if you don't mind, let me pray for your baby." And the mother said, "I don't have no problem with that at all. You need to pray for my baby." So she prayed for the baby, went and sat down somewhere else. And when she went and sat down, later on that night, here come the baby, the mom and the baby coming through the prayer line. The brother Graham said, "The baby already been healed." And said, "I'm going to tell you what happened." Say, there was a woman sitting there in the, balcony. And she prayed for the baby. And when she prayed for the baby, that's when the baby got healed. And Brother Graham said that mother or that woman had more feeling for that baby than he would have. Mm-hmm. Right? And so it was better for her to pray for the baby. Amen. We got to realize that we have the authority given to us by God as sons and daughters of God. They shall lay hands on the sick.
Right.
They shall recover.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. That don't mean now when there's a prayer line, all the sisters get up and run around the church and start praying. Amen. Amen. But sometimes God puts something in your heart, or if it's something that's come into your house.
All right.
And take authority over that devil that's come into your house.
Amen.
And push him back. Push them right on back.
Amen.
Through your prayer, they go on the offense.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That'll shock the devil. Mm-hmm. See, the sister pray for her child. I'm not waiting to call nobody. I'm going to pray for my own child.
All right. All right.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. This next statement says, God's bringing forth a bunch of bones and putting skin on it. And the power of the Holy Ghost shall bring the gospel in this last day with signs and wonders to the end of the world. They'll teach the Bible, they'll stand by it, they'll live by it. They'll not compromise right or left. Amen. They'll not compromise right or left. Amen. Thank God to be a part of this group of bones that God is putting skin on. Amen. We haven't yet, but you know, Ezekiel's bones was a form of restoration. Right? And restoration is not replacement.
Mm-hmm.
It's restoring.
All right. Amen.
Already in use.
All right.
And so those bones being there, God wanted to restore that army.
Amen.
But he needed Ezekiel to speak to the bones.
Right.
And then they began to come back, and it was a form of a restoration. A whole army was restored.
Mm-hmm.
A whole army was restored. So I know we got some saints that are in dry bone conditions. The word of God to be spoke,
amen,
and the bones will come.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Here the prophet say this, God, this next one, say, God is in his holy temple. Let everybody keep quiet. Amen. God is in his holy temple. Let everybody keep quiet. Amen. Another statement here says, that's the way God builds his church, for his eaglets high above the ambitions of this world. She's got high ambition not to please men, but to please God.
Right. Amen.
Now that's just something to really think about. Sometimes you'll be put in a position in your career where you can make a decision to take a job that's going to pay you a lot more money, but it's also going to take you away from church.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes God will put you in that spot and you'll hear all the good things they're saying, gonna put you, you're gonna be praying and asking God, please, Lord, show me what to do, show me what to do. But you already leaning in a certain direction, you heard that money. You heard how much it's gonna pay, you already leaning, but you, Lord, just show me something, give me a sign, give me a sign. And the sign is, here's my word, and what you're gonna do with it.
All right.
Because if it's pulling you further from God, it's not God.
It's not God, amen.
Amen, if it's pulling you further away from God, it's not God. And I've heard people make, you know, these excuses like, you know, I could really help the church with this extra money. I hate to be the one to bust your bubble. God ain't in such a need.
He's not desperate.
He ain't desperate. God ain't desperate. God, I mean, he got the whole world in his hands, so he don't need any extra help. He got it. He got it under control. But this is your test to see how you're gonna respond and what you're gonna do. But the thing of it is, we don't want to please men, we want to please God.
Amen. Praise God.
And sometimes even, you know, boss is trying to get you to work certain hours, you're trying to, I'm sorry, I told you. I mentioned this to you already, this is gonna be a problem. I can't work certain hours. Amen.
That's right.
I have church.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
All right.
Amen. And see, they, some of them are Catholics, and they you know, they have mass that lasts for about, you know, an hour, and then you have I heard a church getting ready to go up. They got a nice building, but they have a service at I think 10:30 and 11:30. The ones that go at 10:30, I mean, what? They got to get out the way in order for the 11:30 people to come in, get out the parking space, get everything, get out of here. So how long is that service actually lasting? It's not even a whole hour. And the people feel so excited. I'm going to the 10:30 service. You know, you got to be out of there not by 11:30. You need to be out probably by 11:15. You need to be out the seat. You need to be out the parking space. You need to be off the property for us to get the other people in. And we're just turning things over like that. You know, so when you got people like that, that are your leaders in the workplace, it's kind of hard for them to understand when you say, I got to go to church. And, well, how long your church last? Let's say we get started at 10.
Yeah.
How long y'all last? They don't understand things like that when everybody have, you know, a less than an hour power, you know, type services. So it's difficult. But nonetheless, we want to please God and not please men. His last statement says, now there is an angel, but this angel of the Lord that are kept around about those that fear him, that fears him. See, now it is a promise that sinners has angels. It's only the redeemed that has angels. Amen. Only redeemed. Okay, I'm moving forward here to slide 6. And we started our journey on this on last week. And verse 4 in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Ye fathers, and I need us to try to understand Paul and his writing here. Paul didn't even have children. Paul wasn't even married. Paul didn't even have children. But somehow Paul could study situations around him, and God would give him a word to write, you know, to the families. And the man didn't even have a family. But yet we take what he say, right? And here, you know, he told the husband how to love their wives, and Paul, you don't even have a wife, right? I mean, you just think about it. But God allows him to kind of tap into the realm. He can see, you know, the challenges of humankind in the family. And he can see that God allow him to write these things in order to give us help. And when he speaks specifically on this, he says, "Your fathers provoke not your children to wrath." It's easy for daddy to do this. Let me just put it this way. The power of words from a father go a long way Sometimes they can go negative and sometimes they can go positive, but from a father, it goes a long way, it has a lasting impact. And sometimes kids, like, I don't really care what my dad said. No, you really care. That's why you're acting the way you act, based on this is something your daddy said or did. You're trying to have a shield now, but you do care, because God has given fathers that type of role, and it's good for us to understand, you know, how we can impact our children in a positive way. Here the Bible says, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I read a quote last week on how this father was walking there at Christmas time through the snow, and he was just walking all over the place. And he was waiting on the son to catch up to him. And when his son finally caught up to him, he looked at the boy and said, "Why are you just all over the place? You're walking here, walking here. What are you doing, son?" He said, "Dad, I'm following your footprints. The ones that the tracks that you've already set in snow, I'm just following each one of those tracks." So you gotta be careful, because somebody is watching you. Everything you do, somebody's watching you. Amen. As a father, as a mother, as a pastor, somebody's watching me. I have to be careful on how I conduct myself as a minister. You know, ministers have to be careful how they conduct themselves. You can't act like everybody else. Amen. All right. I mean, when you're in a leadership position, you have to act like a leader. Conduct yourself like a leader. Amen. People don't expect you to be flying and all of that. You need to be calm. You need to be, amen, relaxed.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Right. And sometimes we like to try to put ourselves, you know, you can't have the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. And what we want is, like, we want the leadership position, but we want to be treated like, you know, everybody else and accepted. Like, well, I can do the same thing you do. No, you can't. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. You're a leader. Amen. Yeah. You can't do that. Well, why are you looking at me? Well, you're the leader. That's why we're looking at you. Amen. So you have to accept the full responsibility that goes along with leadership. Somebody's watching what you do.
Okay.
Somebody's coming behind you,
yes,
to do that. And what bar are you setting for the others to follow?
Right.
That's brother and sister. What bar are you setting that others will follow?
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's correct.
For parents, when it comes to serving the Lord, the children see your inconsistency. It's just the truth in the eye. The children see your inconsistency. They see how you put other things before God. And you got a good excuse, but them children see that. And later on in life, when the kids are affected by that, you can't blame nobody but yourself.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Right? But children see faithfulness and they see inconsistency.
Right.
You know, and recently I was just blessed by something my daughter Sarah mentioned to me, that she was just saying how, you know, I know my dad, and when certain things go a certain way, he will move heaven and earth to make sure he's present to do this and do that and do this and do that. And if he's not moving heaven and earth, something wrong, right? Because I know my dad. I've proven that I'm going to try to be there. Sometimes I go through great strains, but I'm gonna try to be there, right? And they've seen that consistency, so they can speak those things, you know, about me. But somebody's following, you know, the steps that I'm taking. Somebody's following those steps, and I want to make sure I'm moving in the right direction.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I want to make sure. Yes. This little statement that's on this slide. It says, look, God may send many angels. All of us has guardian angels, the children of God. Jesus said, take heed that you despise not these little ones, for their angels always behold my Father's face, which is in heaven. That's true. Be careful what you do against Christians. Said it would be better to be drowned in the sea with a rock around your neck than to bring even offense to one of them. Be careful. See. Now, we kind of stopped in a certain area, and I want to see if I can finish this quote. And then I want to bring in some other scriptures if I can. Let's see here. The quote that we stopped at on last week on slide, slide six, it was questions and answers in Jeffersonville is what we stopped at. And the scripture that he was just quoting there is Matthew 18:10. It says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of the Father which is in heaven. So we started reading that, and I want to finish reading that tonight. Let's see here. Now, what's going to happen, I think there's going to be a little turn in this quote as I'm reading it. And it's not just to dealing with the angel that kind of goes with every predestinated person to redeem. It's not just that, but Brother Branham's going to make a little turn here. But nonetheless, let's get all of what he's bringing to us. So questions and answers, he says, Matthew 18:10, a brother reads Matthew 18:10, that despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels will always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. All right, now the brother, ever who you are, of course there's no names, just little tickets, you see, who said this. Now you can take two ways of it, but I think the interpretation, if you ask me to explain this, the way I interpret this is, now if you turn to 2 Corinthians 7:5-1 says, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, you know what it is. See, if the earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we have one already, you know, waiting, all right? So he says, now if you notice in Matthew 18:10, he was speaking about taking little children. There was little children, little tots, 3 or 4 years old. He picked them up, they brought unto him children comes from the name of child. The child is just a little fellow, not an infant, but just between that and a teenager. So this is very important, between that and a teenager. When he's talking to take children or child, it's between an infant and a teenager. And as parents, I remember a statement being made to me, a child has from birth 12 years old to be a child, an infant to a child, let's say. Teenage years start 13 to 19, which is roughly 7 years at most, 6 to 7 years that they get. And then when they become an adult, it's 20 to whatever, you know, the Lord, whenever the Lord calls you home. The shortest amount of time that the child has in their span of development is the teenage years. That's the shortest amount of time that they get in life. And there's an expectation that things begin to change within those years. So there's a lot of pressure that happens to teenagers. Now, their bodies are changing.
Right.
Right? Their bodies are just, they go through growth spurts. And I mean, all kind of things are happening during this phase, but they're also moving from this stage to try to become adults.
Right.
Some of them try to get to adulthood a little bit too fast.
Right.
Yes.
And the reason that they're doing it is because they're going through all these changes. Right. As parents, we got to understand that. Mm-hmm. Boy, his voice drops. He used to sing high, now he can't hit them high notes no more.
Right.
Because his voice is dropping, right? And I mean, puberty and all kind of stuff they got going on, right? But here's the issue. As parents, we have to be able to recognize this transition, and we got to help guide the children appropriately through this, because the decisions that they make in these years are ones that will be crucial for the rest of life.
Amen.
Big time decisions that they make, right? And so even as grandparents, we're watching them, we're trying to guide them, trying to help them, you know, during that time. But also when we talk about the scriptures, fathers, provoke not your children. This is a very sensitive time for a child's life. However, even though it's sensitive, we cannot neglect our responsibility to make sure that we discipline appropriately. Amen. Appropriately. It has to be disciplined, but appropriately. Amen. Amen. Don't you hit him with that train track. Praise God. Let me read on here. They brought unto him children. Children comes from the name of child. A child is just a little fellow, not an infant. But just between that and a teenager, see, it's not responsible yet for itself. Now he said, take heed that you don't despise. If you really take the interpretation of the word as mistreat, so take heed that you don't mistreat. See, to mistreat one of those, mistreat a child, you should never do that. They're children. They don't know, and now notice, see, because their angels always behold my Father's face, which is in heaven. So and he's saying, never, ever mistreat a child. Mm-hmm. That age right before they get teenage, that's what he's talking about. Don't mistreat them. And then when they become teenagers, you got to be careful how you walk before, how you guide them. You got to be careful because they got a short amount of time to try to gather all this. That's gonna help shape them as they become grown-ups and adults. You know, it's gonna help shape them. So be careful. Don't mistreat them. Scripture says it. Don't mistreat them. Don't mistreat them. Amen. The child don't understand why you're not talking to them. The child don't get it. Now, you know, as adults, oh Lord, I'm trying to get out of this because you get all the way over into all the family business. But as adults, you know, when things ain't going right, they have what they call the invisible line that's in the bed. Some of y'all married people know exactly what I'm talking about. It's an invisible line that be in the bed. That means don't come across this line. We have that. It used to be kids when they get into little spats. And if they were sharing a bedroom, they have an invisible line in the bedroom. Don't come across this line. You stay on your side, we won't have no problems. Sometimes that follow you right on into marriage. When things get a little, you know, a spat doesn't happen, you get that invisible line and come up. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Every married person I talk to, they always say, yes, it happens to us. Mm-hmm. Everybody, nobody. Right. Amen. But here the thing of it is that a child, you can't do that to a child. You can't do that to a child. Amen. You do more damage to a child when you do that than just sitting and talking to them. Yeah. Amen. Amen. A child doesn't even know how to hold grudges. Amen. Not a child. Amen. A child can be fussing and fighting with you and then playing with you just like that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't let it go. But adults, we hold on to it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. But when you got children, you got to try to think like them children. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hello, right. Sunlight. Hey.
Amen.
Amen. But what we got to watch, you know, here, the Brother Graham explained that we can't mistreat them. We can't mistreat them. Don't do that. Don't mistreat children. Here, he goes on and says, now if this earthly tabernacle... Okay, you should never do that. They're children, they don't know. See, now notice, because their angels always behold my Father's face, which is never you see. In other words, they're angels, they're messengers, they're bodies, angelic bodies that they'll go to if they die. Now, you can really change what this is all about. Are always before my Father's face in heaven. See, now it says, now if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Is that right? That's a body. Look here. But I just had time to go through this course. I know I'm not going to have it, but here, let me just give it to you so it's on tape, and you'll get it anyhow. Look, one night Peter was in prison. They had a prayer meeting down at John Mark's house. See, and so the angel of the Lord come in, that pillar of fire and light come down, and Peter thought he was dreaming when he seen this light come to him. The Bible said it was a light. See, and I believe it's the same one with us. We come down, we get in the same trouble, maybe the same thing would happen, see, and come in there, and so he said, come, go with me. So Peter thought, I'm dreaming now, so I'll just see what this dream means. So he walked right on by the guards and thought, there we go, on by the on by, the door just opened by itself, went out the next door, opened by itself, went to the city gates, it opened by itself, and it still thought he was dreaming. So when he stood out there, he said, well, I'm free, so I'll just go down to John Mark's house and have some fellowship. They was back there, O Lord, send your angel to deliver Peter. About that time, somebody went, Brother Branham knocking like that, said the little damsel went to the door and said, who's there? Raised up the little lattice and said, why, it's Peter. So went back and said, hey, you can stop praying now. Peter's there. He said, oh, come on, go ahead. So Brother Branham knocking again, said, oh, open up, I'm coming in. See, and so it said, so she went back, said, no, it's Peter at the door. Oh, they said they've cut his head off already. That's his angel at the door. Now, so Brother Branham talking about how you'll have another body, and that other body looks exactly like you. Hallelujah. And here they were believing that. No, that's not Peter, that's an angel. It looked like Peter, but that ain't Peter at the door. That's his other body, right? And so that's what they were thinking, you know, while they were praying. So he says, so she went back and said, no, it's Peter. They said, no, they cut his head all right. That's his angel at the door. See, his heavenly tabernacle, he had done received it. And this is why this is important. When we talk about having a guardian angel, and Brother Branham, you know, brought in the scripture, when this body is dissolved, we have another body waiting. That's why really only the predestinated, only the redeemed have a guardian angel. That is that other body. Oh my. If we think sometimes we use the term theophany. We use things like that. But that's that other body that we step in. It looked just like you. Oh, glory.
Amen.
Amen, amen,
amen.
Here, he goes on to say this. He says, that's his angel at the door. See, his heavenly tabernacle, he had done received it. That's this earthly one was dissolved because it was waiting in heaven for him to come to. What I seen the other day in that vision, crossed over. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one. And these little fellows who's done no sin as yet, you see, says when a baby is being formed in the womb of a mother, soon as it's put there, see, but first it's a spirit. And as that spirit begins to take on flesh, a little germ of life begins to take on flesh. And as soon as it drops from its, now in the womb, it's a little quivering, jerky muscles. We know that. That cells, just like you take a horsehair and put it in the water, it'll cap over and it'll move and you'll touch it and it'll jump. That's the way a baby is. But as soon as it's born in this world and breathes its first breath, it becomes a living soul. See, because as soon as the earthly body is born into the world, there is a celestial body or a spiritual body to take hold of it. Says, and as soon as this natural body is dropped, there is a heavenly tabernacle waiting for it. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, there's a heavenly tabernacle waiting for it. Just as soon as the baby is dropped into the earth, and flesh, there's a spiritual body waiting to receive it. Now, and what he's doing is kind of showing you, this is that guardian angel that people are talking about. It's that other body that only the redeemed would have. Only them gonna have it. Come from God, is going back to God. Amen. Or it's that spiritual body that's waiting. Hallelujah. The angel Lord encamped around about them that fear him. Woo, this is heavy, y'all. It's heavy. And Brother Branham, he's bringing it from two different angles. Saying, yes, there's an angel. Then he said, it's that body, that celestial body, or like I said, theophany. That's what it is. That's there. We get a charge from it every once in a while. Amen. It's a heavenly charge that we get. It says, just as soon as the baby's dropped into the earth and flesh, there's a spiritual body waiting to receive it. And as soon as the spiritual body, the natural body is dissolved, there's a spiritual body waiting beyond to see a theophany, we call it. See, a theophany. Says, now he says, brother asks, well now, is that temporary pending the resurrection of his body? Yeah, see, yeah, so yes, that's the condition that we're going to live in until this one is resurrected. And that's right, see, it's not revealed to sons of men yet. I believe, I know, I saw it. See, but I don't know what kind of body it is, but I could feel them just the same as I feel your hands or anything else. Of course, this is on tape, and you may be playing this, playing it years after I'm gone, but in that, whatever it was, see, I was holding those people and catching them, and it was just as real as you are real, and yet it wasn't. They didn't eat nor drink. There was no yesterday nor tomorrow. See, it was eternity. And now, when that tabernacle, they live in there in that body, they come back to the earth. And that type of a body, they had took on immortality. The dust of the earth gathered into that theophany somehow, and they become human again. Had to eat like that, eat like they did in the Garden of Eden. See, but if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. So these little children that had no sin, see, no sin, yet their angels, their bodies, the one that Peter had come back in, see, was waiting, beholding the Father's face. And Brother Brown, you know, was answering this question. He goes into this very deep, I say response, but yet it's something that would be very beneficial for us to understand. Everybody don't have a guardian angel. Everybody don't have it. And when we're talking about a guardian angel, now we have to look at it at a different level. We're talking about a theophany. Oh, my. And that's representation in heaven. And everybody don't have representation in heaven. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank God for it. We thank God for it. Amen. He says the one that Peter had come back in. And you know, this is, you know, to me it's pretty profound, but Peter walking through, you know, those situations. The gates that have them bound, but he walks through it. And Brother Ram said, he thinks that he's in a dream, but he's walking right through it. He gets to the gates of the city, walks right through it. And he thinks that he's in a dream. Sometimes you might not realize how he just walked right out of the situation. Mm-hmm. Walk right out of the circle. Walk right out of an accident. Mm-hmm.
My Lord.
Amen.
Should have been gone.
Right.
The representation,
yes,
is what's bringing us through.
My
church, I'm telling you, this is a lot deeper than what we can even explain. But the prophet is trying to get us to see something here. You know that they have a guardian angel, but that angel is that heavenly body that's waiting for them. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Look, he says. The one that Peter had come back in, see, was waiting, beholding the Father's face in heaven. It's always before him. They know it. There it is. Now, there is another quote here that he takes time and explains that even a little bit more. And I think I'll try to read it here. But before I do that, Let me just go back to, you know, still kind of stay with this father provoking out your children. And I mentioned this last week, and you know, I want to just kind of mention it again. You cannot have a favorite child as a mother, as a father. You cannot display that in any way that this child is I favor them more than I favor them. No matter what, you have to show love to them equally. There's a couple of scriptures that I want to just read. Let's go to Genesis 37. Read a couple out of Genesis and just show you create family problems when the parent shows favoritism.
Right.
And you don't have nobody to blame but yourself when you do this. Yes, they might be firstborn, but they ain't the only one born. Amen. You're going to have to show equal love to all your kids. Amen. Otherwise, you create problems. Look at this family. Look at his family. Genesis 37. Jacob dwelt in a land where his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was leading the flock with his brother. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Look at this. Now Israel, which is Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Now, the scripture's telling us this for a reason. And the very next verse gives us a little bit more insight on what's going on in this family. By him loving his son, I loved him more than all the others, and I gave him a special coat. I wanted everybody in the family to know that I loved him more. Look at what happened in the next verse. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peacefully unto him. Now, the problems that went on in the rest of his family when those boys came up with that lie about Joseph being killed by some animal, took the coat, dipped it in blood, killed an animal, dipped it in the animal's blood, and brought it back to his dad. And he was telling dad, you try to figure out what happened to him. They knew what happened. But their hatred was so bad. The feeling that they had towards Joseph was so bad that they let their daddy walk around living that life for years. Nobody told the truth. This is what happened when the daddy chose one boy over all the others. He had 12 sons. And here he shows one favoritism. It created a problem in that family. Big problem. Now, my question is, I wonder where Jacob get this from. Let me tell you something. Sometimes spirits like this have a way of transferring down from other people. And you may not even know it. That you are actually exemplifying something that happened to you. You need to break that spirit. And recognize it is a spirit because it's going to go to your children. And now they'll be having their favorites. Then you get grandchildren, and you got your favorite grandchild. No, you can't do that. You create problems in your own family. Well, let's go back a few scriptures, and we'll look at Jacob. Genesis 26. Verse 24. The Bible says, the Lord appeared unto him, let me just make sure I got the right verse here. Wait a minute, I got something wrong here. Hold on 1 second. I think it's Genesis 25, verse 24. It says, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac, who was the daddy, loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And you can imagine, in this house, there's a lot of division. Because the parents are showing favoritism to one child over the other. All the way down to when it's time to get a blessing from the dad, that the mama comes in and causes her son Jacob to trick the daddy by putting on skin from animals and all kinds of stuff to make himself a hairy man, trick the daddy because the daddy couldn't see. And even Isaac made a statement. He says, you know, it's he said it feel like Esau's flesh or his skin, but it's Jacob's voice. It sounds like Jacob's voice. And I mean, all this deceit and everything going on in this household because one parent loves another child over the other. Don't let that happen to your household. You end up with these problems and greater problems when you begin to have favoritism. Treat all the children right. If they are your children, treat them right. Treat them equal. Amen, church.
Amen.
That's what we call practical teaching. Amen. I have seen it throughout the years where somebody get treated a little bit better than the other one, and man, people grow up with grudges. And I don't care how much you counsel and talk to them, you can't get that stuff out of them. They know what happened to them. Mm-hmm. Only the love of God can cause them to kind of go over that. But as a parent, you have a responsibility. Treat them all equally. I mean, I one of the things I will say, I appreciate my mom for all my siblings ain't serving no more. All of them ain't serving, but man, she and even grandkids, but she treat them all the same. Sometimes I don't know how she do it, but she treat them all the same. And I think the older I get, the more I'm realizing that, you know, you gotta do that. You gotta be patient, you gotta be graceful, you gotta just, you gotta treat them the same. Hallelujah. That's the way that they're gonna actually feel the love of God, is as they feel it through you.
That's right.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I'm not saying that you have to compromise and accept their sin. You can still tell them they're wrong, right? But you know, you just make sure you treat them. You're buying a gift or buying gifts, and everybody's sitting there opening all their gifts. And you know, like I say, one can't, you know, you can't be, this one got a brand new car. This one got a G.I. Joe or something. You can't do stuff like that. You can't do stuff like that. And then expect your house to be just in order. No, you're going to have problems in the house. And you can't sit there and think that child going to understand that. They're not going to understand. You wouldn't understand it if you were in the same boat. You don't do that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Boys, girls, you got to treat them all the same. That girl got to be treated a little different than the boy. But yet, you got to find a way to treat them the same. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyhow. But let me, I just wanted to bring those scriptures in just to kind of show we know the problems that came from these families. You know, and I'm glad the scripture lists that. Learn from that.
Amen.
Learn from that. Please don't go buy a rainbow coat for this one child. Don't do it. Get them all the same. One might like yellow. One like purple. One might like green. But find them all the same. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm just letting you know. I get more practical even. You know, you got kids, girls that, you know, they like to have purses. And you gotta get a name brand purse for one and get knockoffs for the others. Don't do that. If you can't get name brand for all of them,
right,
you just can't get name brand.
Right.
Amen. Remember, I just want to get you something a little special. Watch what you do. You really set yourself up for some major issues in your family. Then you come talk about, Pastor, pray for my family. No, I ain't praying for your family. I'm praying for you. You created this problem.
That's right now.
Amen. You got to learn to treat them all equal. And they do this and they do that. I know they do it. Some of them do it because that's just their nature to do it. That's just their nature. And they ain't doing it to try to get, the other scripture that we just read, but I won't talk about that, but they're not doing it to be a man pleaser.
Right.
They're not doing that. It's just their nature to do it that way. That's how they operate. But don't try to promote certain things, you know, in your family like that. Just let everybody be who God made them and love them all the same. Amen. If you go out and read articles on favoritism in families, you'll see some of the little things that people have studied. And they see some of the impacts. You know, oh, Lord have mercy, Jesus, I'm trying to get right here. Firstborn children have a certain pressure that's on them as firstborn. Middle child gets forgotten all the time, so they deal with these things in their life when they're middle children. And the youngest always get their way. Y'all, this is just family, y'all. I'm talking family stuff.
It's the truth.
Oh, y'all ain't gonna talk.
It's the truth.
This is every family, and it always happens. So you have to know how to monitor and watch certain things.
That's right.
You know, because they all have they got books written on all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know, but they all have these different personalities because of where they fit within the family. Just you know, I even seen, oh Lord have mercy. I seen that if a certain family, and I'm sure this is everywhere because we all got certain genes that pop. And in African-American culture, you can have a whole family and then some gonna turn out dark skin and some gonna turn out light skin.
Right.
Now, how you gonna treat the ones that turn out light skin versus dark skin? Mm-hmm. And they didn't choose, they,
that's right.
Like they chose
that's
their color.
Right. Yeah.
They didn't choose their color, it's just what came to them. You got to watch all of that.
Right.
And you got to manage that. Same thing in some other cultures. I mean, maybe one of the kids is a little darker than the other. I mean, I've seen it in Hispanic culture as well. One brother was telling me he lives in a family where one get really, really good hair, and then the other ones, this is what God gave you. But you know what you got to tell both of them children? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God designed you just the way He designed you.
Amen.
And you got to encourage them like that.
Amen.
Oh my.
Amen.
Let me just try to get back to this last quote here, and then I'll get out of here tonight if I can. But we're going back to this thought on what he was talking about, having that spiritual body. That's what that angel, you know, was. So let's go back. He says it again here in the message of Ministry of Christ. Is that right? No. It goes back in questions and answers. There's two quotes that I'll be reading. So it says that he found Zacharias yet faithful at his post of duty, waving the incense. When he went in to burn the incense in this day, Zacharias, now an aged man, his wife was past age of bearing. The angel of the Lord stood on the right hand side of the altar, and as Zacharias turned and looked at him, it was Gabriel the archangel. Look, God may send many angels, all of us as guardian angels, the children of God, Jesus said. Take heed that you despise not these little ones, for their angels always behold my Father's face, which is in heaven. Brother Graham used them as guardian angels, but he also used them as a celestial body or theophany. He's tying it in this scripture as well. He says, that's true. Be careful what you do against Christians. Said it would be better to be drowned in the sea with a rock around your neck than to bring even an offense to one of them. Be careful what you do to Christians, because Christians have that guardian angel, predestinated ones. Amen. All right. Here, questions and answers, part four. Let's go on and we'll finish up right here. It says, explain about each person's angel who abides with them from birth. Now, if you notice, now this is pretty deep. I just picked it up now. Part of this is really tight, and the other one is with a pencil pen. Now there is an angel, but this angel of the Lord that are encamped about those that fear him. See, now it isn't promised that sinners have angels, it's only the redeemed has angels. Did you know that? The angels of the Lord encamp about those that fear him. Now angels are messengers. I want you to notice it is so perfect, it'll prove predestination to you. See? It says, now when a little baby is being formed under the mother's heart, and you little children that understand these things, see, the Lord gave you to mother, and she carried you under her heart because you're close to her heart. And then one day the Lord came down and delivered you from the mother's heart, from away from her heart, but you'll always be in her heart. Now, one day you got delivered from mama's heart, but you'll always be in her heart because you're always connected. Now, that's an important statement. That's a very important statement. Dad has got to understand that. Dad has got to clearly understand that. Mama's relationship with them children will be a lot different than daddy. Reason being is mama carried that. Mama did that. Mama gave up her body and she carried them. I mean, while he was in the womb, she was talking to him. He thought she was, all right, you okay? But she just forming that relationship and just feeling a bond. And it's a bond that just can't be broken. Even when they come out the womb, that bond is not broken. Amen. Dad has got to understand that, right? And that's why mama's going to always be mama's. We can't help it. But and dad has got to find they role too. You realize that the child couldn't come if daddy wasn't there to fulfill the role. Amen. But then after the child's here, daddy still got things he got to do. Amen. Amen. So here, and even more than just providing for the bills. Oh, Lord. Daddy got to do more than just pay bills. That's not all daddy's role. Amen. You know, I'm trying. I really am. You know what the word man stands for? I'm a man. I'm a man. Yeah, you are. You know what a man got to do? Meet all needs.
That's it.
A man has to meet all the financial need, the emotional needs, the spiritual needs, material needs. The man got to do all of that. Hello?
Amen.
And where we usually lack is that we get the financial part together, but the rest of it we always, you know, kind of put the emotional part off on our wives. We do that. And then we get upset when we see this emotional bond that the kids have with mom.
Preach it. Amen.
But we weren't there to meet the need. We weren't there to develop that need. Oh God, help me, Jesus. I promise you, I'm going to read this. I'm going to have to go over time tonight, but I promise you I'm going to read it. You know, my dad, one of the things that he instilled in us and that I picked up from my dad, he used to take us vacation. Sometimes dad would even pick up other family members that didn't have a father
right. In
you. And dad would just, hey, you come along with us. And when dad would do things like that, I still remember some of my vacations. One of them was really good and really bad. We ended up in the mountains, I think, in North Carolina. And they took us out to just mine and get rocks and find gems. And we sitting out there mining, and our family met my uncle and auntie and all their kids. We all met together there in the Carolinas. And somehow somebody picked up something. We don't know what they picked up, how they picked it up, but all us kids end up stung by bees. And we was my brother Troy did. Yeah, I don't know what he got. I don't know how he messed with them bees like that. But before all the kids were stung with bees, and we sitting out there in the middle of nowhere. Don't know, you know, can't get to no hospital. All those, and they, I don't know what home remedy.
Mayonnaise.
They came and found this, but they found mayonnaise and put mayonnaise on all of us. We all walked around with mayonnaise all over us. And it was a good vacation, but a bad one. But you don't forget things like that. But it was good that my dad instilled certain things in us. In our family, that, you know, this is what you do, and when you get older, you want to do the same thing. So this is with me having that upbringing. I like to take my family on vacations. I just like doing that. And then I learned that, you know, going to Orlando was okay, but I learned the same money that I was using to go to Orlando would actually allow me to go to London.
All right.
The same money. I could get a ticket to go to Oklahoma, take my whole family there. And once I finish spending for hotels and everything else and going to Disney World in Orlando, I can be in London for the same price. I learned that. So that's when I took him international. Amen. Hallelujah. And when you find out later on, because you know, there's families that ain't never been past Riviera Beach.
That's true.
Never went past Riviera Beach. They born in a certain area, they stay there, they never leave that area. Mm-hmm. Don't even know what Jupiter looked like. Mm-hmm. But you know, oh my.
Yeah, that's
the
truth.
Let me read this. A little baby is formed in the mother's heart. Little children that understand these things, the Lord gave you a mother and she carried you under her heart because you're close to her heart. But one day the Lord came down and delivered you from mother's heart and away from her heart, that you'll always be in her heart. Now while this little body is being formed, a little natural body being formed in the mother there is a spiritual body of the earth ready to receive this natural body as soon as it's born. Now a baby is born with live muscles, a beating heart, but no breath of life in it. Its muscles twitching. Then see if there was something different from that, there if there wasn't a spirit that had to come into it later, then our breath could leave us and we would breathe no more and still be alive. But when this body doesn't receive oxygen or breath intake and outtake of our lungs, then we're dead. All right. He says now, but when the mother, the little baby is dropped to the earth in the mother's heart, drop. You understand what I'm saying that way? I mean, the reason that I'm saying it this way, when the little baby is dropped, what happens? As soon as it comes forth, it doesn't start crying. If it doesn't start crying, the doctor, midwife, or whatever will spank it, stretch it. It's got to have a shock. And what happens? Notice the mother, she can be ever so mean and cruel, but just before that baby is born, there's a certain kindness that sets in. Did you ever notice a mother when she's to be mother? There's something sweet about her. She always takes on that sweetness. It's because that little angel, little spirit, little messenger to this little tabernacle is ready to come forth into the world. Then when this little angel comes into the body, that's a little angel of the earth, a spirit that's ordained of God to take this body. Then that baby has to have a choice that makes his decision. Then when this takes place, then you see the angel of the Lord now comes in here, which is a spiritual body that eternal. The angel of the Lord that encamps around about them that fear him, Brother Bam say, it is a spiritual body. That's the theophany. See? He says a spiritual body that's eternal. He says this is a dying spirit and a dying body, but now you can't be in two bodies at one time, but there can be two natures in you at one time. Lord have mercy. You can't be in two bodies at one time, but there can be two natures in you at one time. And remember the story of which dog you feed. Right? Amen. It says, now, the nature of the Spirit of the Lord, when you're born again, you're not born physical like the baby was, but what's happened, the spiritual birth has come to you. And while this spiritual birth is growing into your heart of God, there is a physical celestial body growing to receive that spirit. And when the life leaves this body, it goes to that body. Just as when the body is presented to the earth, the spirit comes in. When the spirit goes out of the body, there is a body waiting. But we know that after this earth, the tabernacle will be dissolved. We have one already waiting, see? That's it, the spiritual body of the people. All right. Like I said, he just gives a really, really good angle on that guardian angel. It's a spiritual body, and not everybody has that same spiritual body that the theophany. Not everybody has that. But redeemed and those that fear him, they have it. We thank God for it. Thank God for it. My. So glad that the prophet just dropped these things off for us. Helps us see at a deeper level in the spiritual. And now let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We just appreciate the Holy Spirit just coming and just speaking to us and helping us, Lord, to hear, not only hear, but God, we believe that we'll apply what we have heard. And may God, you continue to get glory and honor from the lives that we live, and be mindful of, Lord, just what you've done for us, and even allowing us to have this guardian angel, or like we are tonight, a theophany. So many, Lord, we have no idea what these things are, but we realize it, and we realize that it's there bringing us through different things that we might be facing on earth. But the scripture says the angel encamps around us. I mean, they have set up tent around us, and God, we just appreciate. We look back on different accidents when we should have been wiped out, should have been taken from the face of the earth, but somehow, some way, you brought us through. God, it's that presence of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, the theophany, all that there, God, just watching over us and protect us, and how grateful we are that we had that experience with you. Pray, Lord, that you would just help us, oh God, to just meditate and just even think on you more throughout the day, that you would draw closer and closer to us, God, is our prayer. We ask that you would just get glory, amen, out of this lesson, Father, even out of our lives as we go forth, living what we've heard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let me quickly give you tonight's announcements. And if there are any testimonies or prayer requests, let's just get those ready. That way I can make sure we get out on time tonight. Sunday morning, we have prayer 9 to 10, and then service at 10:30. We know this time we're best minister, Brother Anderson, really from pointing me to be coming over to be with us on this Sunday, so let's keep that service in prayer. Also, I forgot to mention, put this on the announcement, Brother Felix's wife. They are having a service at, it's going to go from 11 o'clock to 3 o'clock, and that's going to be on Saturday. And they have chosen the funeral home. It's on Parker Avenue, right in between Forest Hill and Southern, over near Forest Hill High School. There is a funeral home in that area, and they're going to be doing the service at the funeral home and the burial and everything there. So that'll happen on Saturday from 11 to 3. He mentioned that they wouldn't really be doing any food because he felt that his wife knew so many people and just knowing that he could feed everybody. So I think he had just a Brother Yvonne carry on from, he's a pastor in New York, he's going to be coming down and ministering there to service, and he just had him and a few other people that he wanted to just try to take them out to eat somewhere. So I think that's really what was going to happen for the repast. But we told them, you know, I told them that we'll certainly keep them in prayer, and all that can make it to be there to support them. I think he would really appreciate it. Brother Felix would, as well as Jacob. And so just remember, it's 11 to 3.
Is it called?
I don't know. He didn't tell me the name of it. But it's over. I know it's off of Parker, so it could be.
It's Summit.
Yeah, just is it south or north?
It's,
yeah, that's right. Right south of the summit.
South.
That's
there's
right.
There's a burial.
Yes.
It's multiple funeral homes on Parker. That's on message. If you have a name.
He didn't give me a name. Okay. Yeah.
We'll get a name.
Okay. All right. So that'll be happening from 11 to 3. So service will be 10:30 on Sunday, and then virtual streaming will continue through Twitter, Facebook, and the church website, john423.org. And again, our business meeting that will be happening Friday night, January 26th at 7 p.m. Just want to start a little early so that we have more than enough time to try to cover all the information that we have. All right. The giving is through Cash App, through Zelle, and through PayPal. Cash App is $SpiritualT. Zelle and PayPal is our giving at john423.org. 5G. We have the PO box as well if you want to mail it in. There at the bottom of the screen, so keep that in mind. All right, any prayer reports or prayer requests before we leave the park tonight? Okay, we got one right here. We got two.
I'm so grateful. I've been without a washing machine for about 3 weeks, maybe more. And I've been on Marketplace, OfferUp, Grandmark, Home Depot, just different places looking for a washing machine. And I even thought I found one, I believe it was probably yesterday. It was a used one for $200, and they wanted to charge me $75 to have it delivered. And my son, he just started looking, and he said, "Mom," I sent him the picture, and he said, "This look old." I said, "Well, today I went inside Lowe's, and I just say, you know, I have to find a machine, and I don't want to spend a lot of money. I have a Whirlpool, and I wanted another one because I have the dryer that's Whirlpool. And after going in Lowe's today, I looked all around, I looked in the back, and I know sometime they have, you know, things that maybe a customer doesn't want, and they just bring it back. And I found a Whirlpool that was originally $8.99 on sale for $6.28, and as is $3.59. And after speaking with the manager, I didn't know he was the manager, and there was another machine in front of that. I said, "That's the one I would have wanted. How much did that one sell for?" He said it was $189, but it was much cheaper than the one I was looking at. He said, "But I'll lower the price for you." And I ended up getting it for
$224.
Wow. A brand new machine.
Sister Kyle had her hand up.
God bless you. I just wanted to ask for prayer for my brother-in-law, Harry. He's been on the ventilator for the last couple of weeks, and they took him off the ventilator last night, and he was able to breathe on his own. So he's now in hospice. So we just want to, you know, keep him up in prayer.
Anybody else?
As you just went through the lesson tonight, I just had a testimony that I never did really had a chance to share. But some years ago, I remember I was driving from work, and it was pretty late. I was very tired, and I was already in my community, in my neighborhood, and I was nearly just less than a minute away, and I fell asleep under the wheel. And I remember, as I it just all happened at one time, and the way it seemed to me, but I fell asleep, and I was getting ready to hit another car, and I only had one hand on the steering wheel, and I turned my right hand, just the wheel just turned. And I remember it happened so fast, but when I got home, I realized that wasn't me. Because I had just completely gone out. So I always remembered that, and as you went through the lesson, I was just knew I had to share that. But that was the end of the Lord.
Amen.
I'll be out for
you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
The ironic or the miracle part is that it wasn't you, but it was you.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, another body. Yeah. All right, anybody else before we close out? Okay. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful for your many blessings. Thank you for just providing for Sister Brown. She patiently waited for you, God. You knew exactly what she had need of, and you gave her the exceedingly abundant and above all she could ask and think. And we thank you for proving yourself to her, God. Thank you for your protection, Brother Jerry. And I know many other saints that have experienced something similar, Lord, and how you've been a divine protector. A way maker. You've been everything that we needed you to be, God, and we're so grateful. We have a prayer request, Uncle Harry. God is in a situation where he really needs your touch. And I know, God, that even at this point, the doctors are probably dumbfounded that he is with us. God, well, as long as he's with us, we're going to continue to ask for his life, that you would raise him up, that you would more touch his body. We know that there is nothing too hard for you. And God, we know that they're committing him to hospice care, doing all that they can. But Father, we commit him to your care. And we just trust, Lord Jesus, that you would just move on the scene. And we speak to this condition. Lord, we command it to loose and let his body go. And Lord, that he return back to normal health, oh God. And Father, that you raise him up for your glory, for your honor. Pray that you give strength to the family as they are just enduring this moment. And just ask, God, that you would work a miracle on his behalf. Lord, we just, that's all we can ask for. We can only ask for life. So, Father, we just pray that you just move more by your Spirit. As the saints, we prepare to leave tonight, going their respective ways. May the Spirit of God go with them, keep them, direct them. Bless us, Lord, as we come back together again this weekend. And we thank you, Lord, for allowing my daughter Rebecca to be here with us for this little time, and also Sister Yosha being with us. So prepare to journey on tomorrow. Give them both traveling mercies, oh God, as you go. And I pray that you would keep them until we're able to meet them again. And continue to look upon my son-in-law, Aaron, who's not feeling well in his body. But Lord, pray that you just continue to touch him and make him whole. Also want to remember Brother Quentin, Lord, who's not feeling well tonight. Pray that you would touch him and make him whole. And that, God, you would just keep the saints here. Is on the rampage again with this COVID, but Lord, we ask that you would just be our shield and our great reward. God, is our prayer. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I did want to mention, a few weeks ago I was supposed to go to a church there in Michigan, and the service got canceled because there were a number of people in that assembly that had come down with the flu. And so I didn't end up going to church, but then we left there and I heard that after camp, there were a number of people that kind of encountered the flu and a lot of other symptoms. And so I don't know if the enemy trying to spread something again, but I just want to encourage the church to just be careful. Just do all the necessary precautions that you need to do. But there certainly is an uptick, just kind of coming, but let's all just be as careful as possible. And again, with the babies in our midst, please be very mindful that we don't carry anything to the babies. Let's not kiss everybody's babies, and just be careful this area. We want to make sure everybody's going to sing. God bless you, church. Thank y'all so much. God bless you. Praise for coming this time.